for 9 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And 30 years of Rosie on the House.
And good morning, Arizona, and welcome back to Rosie on the House on this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning in the fall. Loving it every day, just a little bit more and more. Other than the streets getting more and more crowded, this is why we are all here. This absolutely gorgeous beginning of fall weather. And what better to talk about this particular month, like we've been talking all summer long, or not all summer long, but all September long, landscaping. How we can convert that area between our front door and the road into an area of absolute beauty. How we can create in the backyard that resort-like setting. And we brought in some particular experts this morning. Romy's got some special guests in studio live this morning.
We've got Desert Foothills Landscape, one of the newer landscape partners of Rosie on the House, but not new to landscaping, especially as it relates to just some beautiful xeriscaping. I mean, I know you guys can do anything and everything, but y'all's Desert Landscapes and your showroom on Cave Creek is picture-perfect Sonoran Desert. I mean, it just does not get any better than that. We've got Chad Norris of Desert Foothills Landscape, the lead designer, and as well as Jake Plosh, the landscape and hardscape design specialist. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks. Tell us a little bit about your background, Chad. How do you become lead designer of an organization like this? Because looking through y'all's gallery on the website, it's some incredible work.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I've been around the landscape industry for as long as I've been alive. My dad to this day still owns a landscape company that he runs himself with a couple of crews and does some maintenance and enhancements. Growing up around that, starting my own small business around the block, mowing lawns and trimming trees for some extra allowance money when I was a kid, to eventually working for my dad, I've always been around it. After working for my dad for a little bit, I wanted to branch out and got into some other industries, commercial grade landscape maintenance, and then ultimately started to work for myself, but the recession hit and ultimately landed with Desert Foothills Landscape, and it couldn't have been a better fit.
Yeah, but as lead designer, I mean, so the eye it takes to integrate all this hardscaping with all these plant species, with the lighting, that just kind of came natural to you? I mean, there's people that spend years and years and years studying in college this subject.
Yeah, it's funny. I was never a creative kid or person growing up. I wasn't into art or painting or drawing in any way. But when I became more familiar with the desert landscape palette with the original owner of Desert Foothills Landscape, his philosophy and his way of thinking about the various layers that are put together to create these one-of-a-kind masterpieces clicked for me. It made sense, and off to the races I was.
Philosophy and landscape aren't two words you often commonly associate with each other.
Right, right. But when you think of each particular area as a small piece to a larger puzzle, and you start with the basics and start with that foundation and then build layer on top of layer, and looking at it from different perspectives, from not only curb appeal, but from the homeowner's point of view, from inside the house looking out, it becomes easy to, well, I say easy, but it becomes easier to layer in those visually interest elements.
Well, I'll tell you what's easy. At my house, I have two landscape maintenance tools. A torch blower and a chainsaw.
Right.
At my house, you're either going to live or you're going to die. That's easy. Yeah. But my house and its landscaping scheme would never appear in y'all's gallery. I mean, what y'all have really is some gorgeous work. Mine's kind of very simple. But right. Romy was talking about blending philosophy with landscaping. And when they do blend, it shows.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. When you create these living art pieces of landscape vignettes throughout the yard, it can really change the homeowner's quality of life, and that's ultimately what we're about.
Absolutely. And Jake, your background.
Well, I'm not quite the native that Chad is to Arizona, but I moved here from Idaho about 10 years ago. And ever since I left college, I started a small landscape company, just being a laborer. And kind of, you know, fell in love with it at that point. And, you know, the same kind of same scenario with Chad is the previous owner of the company. He kind of had a, you know, unorthodox view of things, and it clicked real well with me. And I kind of took it from there and started doing the same layering and looking as a more of a three-dimensional art piece that you, you know, place throughout focal points of the home, you know, from inside to out through the main kitchen window or the front courtyard or something you would see from within to from inside to out and outside to in type of a view. So it's really worked well, and I enjoy it.
And you mentioned college. Are you, what is it, Idaho Vandal?
No.
Is that what they're called?
A little further south, Boise State.
You're at Boise State. Yeah, all right. Yeah. That's a cowboy?
That's a Bronco.
Bronco. That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you can always tell for me when my measuring point of a good landscape is when you don't even notice the house. And y'all do an incredible job of just making the house kind of disappear into the landscape.
Yeah. We're fortunate enough to work in some of the higher end portions of the valley where people have these massive homes nestled into a side of a mountain or in a golf course community, and they want that house to look and showcase their lifestyle or their success. So being able to provide these accentual type landscapes to these higher end homes is really fun, and the people want instant gratification when we're doing that. They don't want to wait 10 years, which is why we have those big specimens.
Or 50 for a Saguaro.
Or 50 or 100. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So how do y'all cultivate those very mature, you know, you've got some great examples of Oregon pipe cactus that have gone in, right. Multi-limb Saguaro. I mean, those you can't just go pluck out of anywhere.
No, and although we do grow some smaller versions of them from singular one-arm pieces, the majority of our large specimen cactus are located and salvaged from throughout the valley. There's Oregon pipes that have been planted all over the place that have been in somebody's yard for 20 or 30 years. Well, now that plant's gotten way too large for their particular home. We have spent 20 years locating those. Some of them are easy to give them up, others aren't, and they wait for 5 or 6 years and then call us up and they're ready to part with them. And in lieu of cutting them down and trashing them, we purchase them, box them up real nice, bring them up to our nursery, and put them in our showroom to later incorporate into our designer landscapes.
But don't try this at home. Leave that to the professionals.
It's quite a process. There's cranes involved. It's not an easy task, but the team that we have has come up with a way to do it that's very successful. We hardly lose any of these plants once they're salvaged.
Yeah, the weight on those cactus full of water and anyone that's seen the famous postcard of the Saguaro that's fallen over on an old Oldsmobile that's completely obliterated. Right. It's like you said, cranes, heavy equipment, tractors. Yeah. You're digging these out with backhoes. You're not underneath there with a shovel and a little 12-inch or even 72-inch box trying to put these. I mean, you're under there with – you're probably pulling out a couple tons of dirt on the root systems on a lot of these.
2,000 to 3,000 pounds per specimen cactus that is lifted up out of the ground from its existing location and then neatly boxed and readied for transport. And then in some instances, our larger crane lifts them off the street, over the house, and into the backyard in some instances. But that's the kind of stuff you only get with people and designers who are love what they do and have the availability and the ways to do it, which is cool. Yeah.
And Romy, that postcard is a 1967 Oldsmobile, and that's not an old Oldsmobile. So tell me a little bit about the homeowner who is contemplating upgrading to your level of design and installation service. What is that first meeting go like? What questions are asked? How do you get to the soul of what they're looking for?
You know, these homeowners, they appreciate and they want some of the best things in life. They've worked hard forever, for long times, started, run companies, and they want to be able to get some of the best there is out there. And our philosophy and approach is a little bit different because we don't do one-dimensional drawings of what the landscape would look like. We approach it from an artistic point of view, a three-dimensional point of view, and a lot of it is through a dialogue between the homeowners and us. That what is their expectation? What are they looking for? What would they like to see? Are they outdoor entertainers, or are they inside looking out? What kind of ways are they going to use their landscape? And then Jake and I create a an expectation that is outlined in words and verbiage and descriptive terms, so that we paint the picture mentally when they're reading the proposal of what is to be expected. There's very little detail in how what will happen. It's really forming a bond and a relationship and trust with the homeowners, who then let us come in as artists and create these really extensive, one-of-a-kind landscapes.
Yeah, as a kitchen designer, you know, I could show a 3D interior elevation together that shows exactly the color, the wood grain, the doorknob, and everything. I'm a customer, and you bring in that Palo Verde tree, and I think, well, that has a limb over there. I wasn't counting on that one right there.
Right. Yeah, usually there's so much going on and so much of an operation taking place that nobody's focused on those little things. It is quite a production to see these things take place.
Yeah, fabulous. And then you've got all the different things, Jake, in the hardscape. We've talked a little bit about plants, and I want to go back to plants and plant species. But what the layers y'all were talking about in the hardscape dimensions, and then what you can do with lighting. And I mean, it's just incredible when it's properly planned. Like Romy says, when you bring the philosophy, the compassion, the heart, the design experience, the plant species experience, knowing what products are out there to integrate into the hardscaping, it can really come together as an incredibly well blended. And you know those yards and landscapes when you see them. You drive by, you go down the street, and they're the front yards, they're the houses, they're the properties that just kind of take your breath away. And that can happen as well during the day, but boy, at night, properly lit. Let's talk about hardscaping and lighting when we get back with the good guys from Desert Foothill Landscape and Nursery.